At 8 p.m. on Sunday, in a home in western Hangzhou, Zhou Min wipes the living room whiteboard clean and writes the week housework schedule in green pen. Outside the window is the early autumn night of Xihu District. The younger child has just been coaxed to sleep, the older one is coloring beside her, and two small shoes are piled by her feet, with a faint sweet-sour smell of milk bottle in the air. By today she has used this board for 193 days straight. Before that, the home was like an intersection without traffic lights, whoever was free did the work, and the result was always the most idle person doing the most. She says, "Back then I always felt housework appeared out of nowhere, finished yet still there, like an hourglass turned over." The change began with one A4 sheet. She wrote down every repeated chore she could think of, counted them, and found 21 in total. She says that at that moment she understood the chaos was not from laziness but from not seeing the whole picture. Now the whiteboard is the family public clock. She told me those 20 minutes on Sunday work better than scolding 3 times on a normal day. Once the actions are written into the grid, the mind goes quiet instead. Many people think a housework system means buying storage boxes. Zhou Min laughs and says storage is only the tail, scheduling is the head. The real difficulty is not too many things, but nobody knowing who should move and when. The problem with doing housework by mood is that it keeps grabbing your attention. Zhou Min kept a log, recording housework time on her phone for 2 straight weeks, and found scattered days averaged 2.4 hours a day while scheduled days dropped to 1.3 hours. Where did the saved 1.1 hours go? Eaten by repeatedly remembering, putting down, and hesitating. She says, "Back then I would go collect clothes mid-cooking, then forget to turn off the stove, adding 40 minutes to one meal." Psychology has a term called attention residue. When one task is unfinished and you jump to another, the brain keeps hanging on it. Scheduling stacks similar tasks together, clears them in one pass, and zeroes the residue. It also does not ask you to become diligent, but pulls diligence out of mood and turns it into a point on the calendar. Zhou Min says what she feared most was not too much work, but work with no landing place, floating above the head. So the first gain of scheduling is not saving time but saving the mind. This is also the starting point of the classification that follows: let the brain rest first, then let the hands move. Zhou Min's first step was clumsy but effective: take a sheet, write down every repeated thing at home. From taking out trash, washing dishes, feeding the cat, to changing sheets and washing curtains, 21 in total, covering half the table. After listing, she found 3 she had never counted: clipping the kids' nails, watering plants, wiping door handles. These 3 quietly ate about 3 hours a month. She says, "Back then I thought my memory was bad, but actually I never treated them as tasks." The point of a list is to make invisible labor visible. When all 21 were spread on paper, arguments dropped. Her husband had thought the home was quite clean, and only went quiet after seeing the list. She also tagged each with frequency: daily, every 3 days, weekly, every 10 days, every season. This single step filtered illusions. For example, she thought mopping needed daily, but every other day was enough. Scheduling directly without a list is drawing grids in fog. Zhou Min's only advice to friends is, count clearly first, then talk about distribution. After the 21 were clarified, Zhou Min put them into 4 boxes. Box 1 daily, the must-do every day, washing dishes, wiping tables, picking up toys, about 6. Box 2 periodic, by frequency, changing sheets, clipping nails, about 7. Box 3 deep, the time-consuming big jobs, washing curtains, cleaning the fridge, wiping windows, about 5, rotated once a month. Box 4 emergency, the sudden ones, unclogging the toilet, replacing a bulb, about 3, not put in the schedule, only a responsible person listed. She says the benefit of this split is fast where fast is needed, slow where slow is needed. Daily uses the shortest moves, deep is concentrated into one afternoon and done in one breath. She says, "Back then I stuffed curtain washing into Wednesday night, got so tired I took Thursday off, later moved it to Saturday morning. The four boxes also solved priority anxiety. Emergency does not occupy the calendar. Daily does not steal deep time. Deep is not chopped by daily. For the first time, the home had a rhythm. After splitting, she did the math. Daily about 40 minutes, periodic about 15, deep spread to about 12 a day, emergency averaged about 5, total about 72 minutes a day, half of the scattered 144. Classifying done, next is assigning people. Jo Min drew a weekly chart, 7 days across, for family members down, each grid writing who does what. She says the chart is not to control people, but to let everyone know whose turn today, saving mutual guessing. She and her husband split by strength. She handles cooking and storage, he handles trash and repairs, because he is clumsy but strong. The two kids each got a small post, detailed later. She says, back then I carried everything myself, carried until mastitis flared, then agreed to spread the chart open. The cleverest part of the chart is blank space. The 30 minutes after dinner each day is family cleanup together, no specific name, just together. Jo Min says those 30 minutes of laughter are worth more than cleanliness itself. The chart is stuck on the fridge, with a photo saved on the phone. Whoever forgets just glances, no need to ask. She says asking who takes out trash today could spark half a cold war before, now it is just a glance at the grid. As